series in the book of Acts, and I've themed the whole series, The Church Alive. However, I've titled this section we're in, The Church Growing and Going. And that's in Acts chapter 15, verse 1 through 18, verse 22. However, I told you that there's some areas that do require a little mini-series. And this is one of those areas, so a mini-series within the whole group. And I've titled this little mini-series, Making the Most of Your Walk with God. So we're learning what's in this passage, and then we're exploring a little bit deeper another area of application. So go with me this morning to Acts chapter 17 we're at, and go with me at verse 10 through 15. I want to read that as a background for our teaching here this morning. So verses 10 through 15 of Acts chapter 17. It says, "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they sent there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away. To go to the sea, both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed." Father God, we pray that your word would be anointed to our life this day. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to receive all that your word reveals today for your glory. Guide us into all truth by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church agrees by saying, amen. So last week we talked about making the most of your walk with God. And we covered in verses 1 through 9. And we talked about what we need of ingredients in our walk with God is integrity. We also said we need intensity. A lot of people, you know, just have a very lackadaisical attitude. We need to be intense in the sense of the right form of it, not to be fearful or worried, but to be energetic and ready. And then we said we need to be involved, those three things. Now, this morning, we pick up Paul and Silas there in Berea. I always make that mistake because after 37 years in Berea, actually longer, because I don't know if I ever told you the story, but in Berea, when I first got called in the ministry, I was working for, I'd come back from Vietnam and went into various types of work. And one of them, the Santa Ana Register at that time, opened up the Daily Star Progress in La Habra and Berea. And when they opened that up, at that time, a Penny Saver wasn't born yet. But there was another company called Top Banana Publications, and it was the same type of thing as Penny Saver. And so I went to work very successfully with Top Banana Publications, and then the Register called me and they said, "Look, we want you to come to work for us at Daily Star Progress. We heard you have almost all these businesses signed up and down to advertise. We want you here." So I joined them, which was a very short time. Because I had some friends, we said we were going to go to New Orleans on motorcycles when they came back from Vietnam. So I quit my job, took off for New Orleans. That was a long story. But God brought me back. And by the way, God was speaking to me that whole time and rescued my life. But I'll never forget about certain things. So Berea was a place that was not really on my radar, but yet I never wanted to go back to Berea. But there was a young woman who I fell in love with that I joined in marriage, and that was, she was from La Habra, so that wasn't far away. But when I went into the ministry, we were all trying to decide, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And I go, I don't know. And I kept hearing this word, Berea. I go, no, Berea, no, I'm not going to Berea. All these other guys were talking about Hawaii and all this. I go, Berea, and there it was. It was Berea. And so I got sent to Berea, and you know what? I don't regret it. Praise be to God. God used that. So whenever I see Berea, I say Berea. And so there's a little sideline background behind that, but I thank God for my experience in Berea because then it prepared me to come out here, and I'm really happy to be here. So it says, there they went to Berea, And so most of us might know the story about here, but there's certain things that are really exciting to learn. But Paul and Silas in Berea, verses 10 through 15. And I'm kind of reminded about this stranger goes into a church in the middle of the sermon and seated himself in the very back row. And after a while, he began to fidget, leaning over to a white-haired man at his side, evidently a member of that congregation. He whispered, "How long has he been preaching?" 30 or 40 years, I think," the old man answered. "Well, I'll stay then. He must be nearly done." And so sometimes, you know, are we ready to receive the Word of God? Do we have an open heart, or are we ready? And it kind of reminded me about the preacher who died, and he went to heaven, and he noticed that a New York cab driver had been given a higher place than he had. And he felt like, wow, what's this all about? "I don't understand," he complained to St. Peter, supposedly. "I devoted my entire life to my congregation." Well, Peter answered, "Our policy is to reward according to results." Now, what happened, Reverend, whenever you gave a sermon and the minister went on, he says, "Yeah, many of the congregation fell asleep." "Exactly," said Peter. "When the people rode in that man's taxi, they not only stayed awake, but they started praying." And so maybe both of that can work for us today. Maybe we should be of a prayerful mind. One man said, my son asked what was the highest number I ever counted to. And I didn't know, but I asked about the highest number. It was 5,372. "Oh," I said, "why did you stop there?" "Well, church is finally over." So right now, today, I don't want you to get into any of those modes. I want you to pay attention, because this is so serious for our life. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of survival and success. It's a matter of reality. It's a matter of healing. It's a matter of circumstances becoming something that we see as obstacles, but yet the challenges are put before God. And so there's a lot in here. But Paul and Silas in Berea, there was a tremendous openness, we learn in verses 10 through 12, to the Word of God. Look at there. "The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews." So that was their normal pattern. And verse 11, "They were more fair-minded." In the Old King James, it says they were more noble. But we see that translation. We don't use the word noble as much anymore, but fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. "And that they received." Underline the word received. This is extremely important for this morning. "They received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures whenever they felt like it." No, wait a minute. "They searched the scriptures how often? Daily, to find out whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed." Underline the word believed. "And also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." Isn't that amazing? The women got the Word of God too. And so that's wonderful. Even the prominent women did. But, you know, you got to like these guys, Paul and Silas. I mean, here, I think I would have been burnt out. Perhaps, maybe not, because I usually don't get that way, but sometimes we get close. But I mean, here they had been beaten and imprisoned every time they show up. You know, they enter a new city, but they just kept going for it. They just kept going for it. What do we do when we get beat up, when things aren't going well? Well, we moan, we cry, we go, "God, why did you?" And we do all of this stuff. Or, "God, why didn't you?" And we do all this stuff, but not these two guys. They are right on target. They just keep doing what God's called them to do. And, you know, I commend that, because too often people just give up. I've seen people give up on their marriage. I've seen people give up on their kids. I've seen people give up on their life. I've seen people give up on all kinds of things when, in fact, it may be just around the corner God is ready to do something mighty. These two guys never gave up. And it says they were more noble. See, the Bereans listened to what Paul taught. Every day they search the scriptures and they go, "Let's check out what that guy is saying. Let's consider what he's saying as it relates to the scriptures." I think it's important that we always do that. I have seen and been a part of a lot of things in ministry where a lot of things that are taught that do not really line up with the truth of God's word. As a matter of fact, sometimes just the opposite. Sometimes people teach out of context, just right out of the Word of God. They'll pull a verse out, and it actually has no real bearing on the real context of what those scriptures say. So I try and always give you both. try and give you the whole counsel of God's Word. Because if you run around with pieces of it, you only got a piece of the puzzle and you don't see the whole picture and you're going to make mistakes. So in verse 12, it literally, these people believed. And they said, you know, it's the Word of God. What do you think? It's not what I think. It's what God says. What did God say? How many problems would be solved? How many questions would be answered if people would only take the time to study the Scriptures daily? And I mean daily. See, faith comes not by encounter sessions or group therapy or all kinds of stuff. Faith comes by taking the Word of God and believing it. And that's where we make a mistake. We make a mistake. We just go, well, I heard it, but I know that. Somebody told me that scripture before. But faith comes by those who are in the Word, for only the Word can affect the changes and the reality of our circumstance and our life. And yet faith is available to us all. But where does it come from? The Word of God. And so they had faith in the Word of God. In verses 13 and 14, you know, the opposition to the Word comes in, and it always will. Verse 13, but when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the Word of God was preached by Paul. See, if Paul would have just gone there and just said, oh, let's have the choir sing today. Oh, let's not teach the Word of God. We don't have time for that. People don't want to hear the Word of God. Let's show a movie. Let's have a theater. Let's do all this stuff. The Word of God is what the enemy is after. The Bible says when the Word of God is sown, the enemy comes immediately to steal the Word out of your heart. And that's what will happen. Every time you believe the Word of God and you put your faith on it, Satan immediately comes to steal that Word. And how does he steal the Word? Does he go in there like a thief with a little bandana on and his eyes poking through his little mask? No. He comes in and he challenges the Word of God to your life. You say, oh, you're believing God's Word for that. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. He speaks to your mind. Now, he can't read your mind, but he can speak to it. And so he gives you thoughts because he knows you. And he knows what thoughts. He knows exactly the circumstance. He'll get your thoughts running wild. And all of a sudden, if you're prone to fear, he'll give you fear. And all of a sudden, you're going to, oh, it's not going to work. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And you'll freak out when, in fact, you ought to faith out or faith in. Let's go for that one. Faith in. So, and I'll have to write that down for the next message. So they learned the Word of God that was preached by Paul at Berea, verse 13, and they came there also and stirred up the crowds. They stirred up the crowds, yeah, but in the wrong way. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there, and those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, receiving a command for Silas that Timothy and him come and join them with all speed, and they departed. So time to go, Paul said. The Bereans, we heard the word, we understand it. Now the Jews are coming to get you again. Get out of Dodge, so to speak, or Berea. So, making the most of our walk with God. What do we learn from this? Well, we learn that's a good story. That's really truth. It's really God's word. But what is the key elements here? In Thessalonica, the apostles resisted, but in Berea, they received. And I think it's important. They were resisted when they came there. In Thessalonica, when Paul and Silas arrived, the people resisted. They didn't want to really grab a hold. They just looked for their little tidbits that they wanted to hear. But in Berea, they received. Notice, they received in verse 11. I had you underline that. They received what? See, we can learn a lot here about Bible study. God called these people noble, which means excellent or fair-minded, as it says here. You give them a star, smiley face, an A+ for Bible study, because the reality is they deserved it. And yet, I'm amazed that they received the word first, key element. The ingredient of a successful Christian life for you and me both is we must receive the word of God. Now, don't take this lightly. Because, you see, we need to approach the Word of God with faith. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians. Now, we're going to go back there to where they were and before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And so, Paul, in writing this letter, makes mention of something to them that I think is extremely important, although it wasn't always followed. But we do know that in Berea, they received the Word. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look with me at verse 13. Here's what Paul said. He said, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received," underline received, "the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Underline truth, the word of God. There's a difference on how one receives. See, some people just hear the Bible. Some people study the Bible. Some people really receive the Bible. And I have counseled for several years. I've been trained in this, working with marriages, working with people, working with depressed people, despondent people, all kinds of things. But one of the things I learned, there's some people who receive it, and there's some people who, it's like there's an air vacuum. It goes in one here and goes out there really fast. And how do I know that? Because I had one of those growing up, okay? So I know it very well. You see, it sounds like double talk. It says you received it, not as the word of men, but of God. You see, when you received it, it's kind of like this. When you received it, you received it. You received it. Say, you received it. When you received it. Yeah, I think we better get that one down, Pat. See, there's two Greek words here that are used for this definition. The first one is paralambano, which means to casually taste something, or to hear it with only your ears. Now, I know some of you probably have been like that at times, so we're going to fix that today. You don't need to be like that. You need to get past that. And there is another Greek word, deikomenai, which actually means to hear it with your heart, to embrace it or to welcome it. So two Greek words for the same thing about receiving. One is you hear it with only your ears. And then there is the person who hears it with their heart. They receive it with their heart. And if we could just get that, we would be, oh, it would be so different. In fact, Paul was thankful they didn't just hear it with their ears, but they received it into their heart. You know, the Bible says, "Be ye doer of the word and not a hearer only." Why do you think James said that? Because he knew the Greek language, that some people only hear it with their ears and they don't receive it with their heart. There's a big difference. And I'm not picking on anybody here this morning because I want us to learn the difference, because you see, it means the difference of whether or not I'll make it or not, I'll succeed or not. If I'm just hearing it with my ears, that's not going to work. In fact, I am a person who is visual. I test people for personalities, and some people are visual, some people are auditory. But I can tell you this, I am visual. So what I have to do is I have to visualize everything. So I see it, I read it, and when I read it, I say it out loud, just in case there's a little bit of auditory working for me that day. So I say it, I hear it, I hear myself saying it, and I talk it out loud, but I have to visualize it and read it, and I got to see it. Well, he said, in a sense, then, they received it. They received it how? They received it with all readiness and searched the Scriptures. You see, that implies then they didn't just hear it. They went to the Word of God themselves, and they go, "I've got to apply this. It's got to get into my heart." And in fact, it kind of reminds me about a young man at home watching a movie, and his dad yells for him to take out the trash. And okay, an hour goes by. Did he hear it with his ears, or did he embrace it with his heart? No, he didn't embrace it with his heart. In fact, a couple dated for months, and she wonders if he'll ever pop the question. And one night, went out to a romantic restaurant with candles and violins, and he looks at her and he says, "Matilda." "Yes, George." "Can I ask you a question?" Well, sure. Excited. "Pass me the ketchup." "Okay, here it is. One more thing. Will you marry me?" "Yes, I'll marry you, George." Throws her arms around his neck. Did she hear it with her ears, or did she embrace it with her heart? She embraced that one with her heart. But too often we don't, do we? You see, we just take it in, and we hear it, but we don't really practice it. And that's the difference. Look in your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And right after Thessalonians, if you were still there. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, right after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, all Scripture, say all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There are the four keys right there in Christian counseling, by the way. All Scripture, every Scripture, all Scripture, that's Old Testament and New Testament, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, and for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So how much Scripture? All of it, every bit of it. In fact, not just part of it, all of it. The Greek word translated all there is an interesting word. You know what it means? It means all. Okay. All right. I know that was a little over some of your heads, but that is true. It means all. It means everything. So there are critics and commentators who say this verse, though, should be rendered like this. Here's the way some of the liberal thinkers say. They say all Scripture, which is by inspiration of God. Oh, no. All Scripture is by inspiration of God. Don't leave that thought out. They just say all Scripture, which is by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine. The implication being that not all Scripture is inspired. That's a lie from the pit of hell. No, all Scripture is inspired by God. Nothing short of it. The implication is true that it's all inspired. If I adopt that so-called whatever Scripture is inspired, and some maybe or maybe not, then I have to decide what's inspired and what isn't. That's not my job. In fact, rather allowing God's Word or Scripture to judge me or to correct me, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4, then here is Timothy says, because all Scripture is inspired by God, we can be furnished with everything we need for every good work. In other words, the answers are there. Every good work, the answer is there. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, when he talked about the future of this world, and he talked about what's going to happen in Israel, and talked about all the things of the future in Revelation and so on, he said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. God's word won't pass away. It's the difference between how it impacts you between just hearing it or hearing it. It's just a few inches difference, you know, from here to here. And when I was growing up, I heard most everything here. I didn't get it here. And then I learned how to get it there. But how do we get it into our heart? Well, it's important that we do, because there is where we're going to find the success. You see, in fact, here's where we get into trouble. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for unto us the gospel was preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached to them did not profit them. Why? Because it wasn't mixed with faith when they heard it. Now, I was looking up some mixers online for plumbing, and you know how you have on a faucet, you got hot and cold. Now, you can just open up one of them, and the hot one or the cold one, but it's nice when you mix them together. So what we have to do is mix the Word of God with what? Faith. So if you don't mix it with faith, it's not going to work for your benefit. It'll work in some cases because you heard it. You just go, I know. How many people, I'm not going to ask a question for a survey this morning, but how many people have we ever talked to and you tell them, well, just, you know, you just got to trust in this. You got to trust what God says. Oh, yeah, I heard that. I did that. I did it many times. Really? Are you doing it now? No. Why? Because it didn't work. Well, you know what? There's no faith. Your faith is the opposite of what the Word says. And that's what the devil has done. He's stolen it out of your heart. See, it's a drawing power. And I remember, you know, in school, one of the things, I went to a lot of different schools. And so because when I went to a lot of different schools, I would sometimes miss things in the course. You know how they start off with a curriculum and you're supposed to get through? Well, there's some classes I miss, especially in the English area. The grammar section, I hated the grammar. I still hate it. And I had to go back and take some of it. But the reality is what I did like is reading. So I would say to the teacher, can I read something, do a book report? How many book reports can I do? And she goes, you want to read and do a book report? Yeah, I'll do plenty. because I love to read. So I would do the book reports and read because I could escape reality every time I read. And so I would just do all these book reports. But the problem is I was missing vital elements, and too many people with the Word of God are not studying it and applying it and saying, I'm hearing it with my Word, but I need it in my heart. And you know, you can't make a person do it. You really can't. They got to get it into their heart. It's an appeal to all of our lives. I wonder how many of us came to church today with the expectation that God was going to speak to you. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. Because you see, I always expect. Why? Because I study. I study the Word. I'm in the Word. I'm in prayer. I'm waiting on God. I'm asking God, God, here's what the Bible says. Here's all these verses. I know that story. But what do you have to say to me? What is your message, God? What can I deliver to the people? And so when I get ready to get up here, let me tell you something. I'm not going to get up here unless I got the message. And I got the message this morning. They received the Word. Say, they received the Word. They received it not just here, but here. There's a big difference. You go, Dave, that's so simple. No, it isn't. Because we all don't receive the Word. Coming to church, maybe it's just a habit. Maybe you're online this morning. You go, oh, I'll turn on Pastor Dave and see what he's got to say today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll give him a few minutes. If he doesn't say what I want him to say, I'm turning him off. I'm going to the football game or whatever. And so, you know what? You need to receive the Word of God. You need to not just hear it, but you need to receive it. In fact, it's interesting when you ask people how often you read the Bible and do you believe it's truth. According to Barna Research Group survey, less than 50% of the Americans open the Bible in a given week. That's less than 50% of who? Christians. Open the Bible less than 50% a week. 82% think that God helps those who help themselves. That's what some people say. This is a Christian survey, by the way. And I think it came directly from the Bible. 63% cannot name four Gospels. These are Christians. Wow. I even know a Matthew and a Mark and a Luke and a John. And they haven't figured that out. And it's interesting, 58% do not know that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. What's the Sermon on the Mount? Well, 58% of Christians don't even know that. 52% do not know the book of Jonah is in the Bible. Did you know that? These are Christians. Reminds me of a story I heard about a religious woman who did a lot of flying for her work. And air travel made her extremely nervous, so she always took her Bible along to read it, since she didn't want to just sit there and help her to relax on long flights. One time she found herself sitting next to a man who chuckled at her and smirked when she pulled out her Bible. After a while, he turned to her and he said, "You don't really believe all that stuff in there, do you?" The lady replied, "Of course I do. It's the Bible." "Well, what about the guy who was swallowed by the whale?" She smiled and replied, "Oh, Jonah? Yes, I believe that. It's in the Bible." Still smirking, the man asked, "Well, how do you suppose anybody would survive inside of a whale like that?" Lady replied, "Well, I don't know. I guess when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." "Well, what if he isn't in heaven?" the man said sarcastically. To which the lady answered, "Then you can ask him." So the reality is, okay, a little harsh, but he deserved that. The lady received the Bible as the Word of God. She received it into her head and into her heart. She was devoted to it. It's got to be mixed with faith. That is very important. A question for you. Can you take the Word of God and use it to apply for every area of your life? And absolutely would be the answer. Absolutely you can. Look at one more scripture. Look with me at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. They received the Word of God there in Berea. They stand out above all others. They were considered more noble or more fair-minded than all of the rest. And in James chapter 1 verse 22, and Paul tried to give them insight that they should receive the Word that way in Thessalonica, but they did not. And in verse 22 of James chapter 1, he says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only." See, a doer is one who takes it and put it in his heart. A hearer just gets it in their ear. And he says, you're self-deceived if you do that. yourself deceived. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what was there, what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, James calls it, and continues in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be ignored in their life. Oh, that's the modern translation of everyday lifestyle. No. It says, but this one who is a hearer and a doer will be blessed, say blessed, in what he does. How many of you want that blessing? I do. I want to be blessed by God, and you know God's wanting to, so we just need to hear it, and we need to apply it and do it. We need to receive the word of God. But if you're looking in the mirror, sometimes we look in the mirror and we go, there's a pimple there. Oh my gosh, a wrinkle. I didn't have that wrinkle before. I was looking last night, I had a wrinkle. I had been rubbing my eyes and I looked and I go, oh my gosh, that skin stays there. I'm going to quit rubbing my eyes. No more rubbing your eyes, Dave, because you rubbed it and it just stayed right there. And then it went away. Thank God it went away. And that's why I don't wear contacts. It's not the vanity. It's just I don't want to see those little hills on the side, so I wear glasses. No, I'm only kidding. But it doesn't do any good to get mad at the mirror. You're looking in the mirror and you go, oh, there's a flaw. You know, you get mad at the mirror, you get mad at the preacher. The reality is you should take the word and hear it and do it. Oftentimes people come to church and the mirror of the word shows them something they don't like. They don't want to do that. They don't like it. They get mad at the mirror or at the church or the pastor or at one holding the mirror. I've been accused before of preaching to somebody. Somebody always comes up and they go, were you in tune with what I was doing last week or what? No, I wasn't. You think I spent all these hours studying just to figure out how I can nail you at church? Are you kidding me? No way. Because every time if I nailed you, I'm going to get nailed even more. No, most of the times when I study, God's speaking to me, and he's showing me my flaws, my areas, and making sure I got enough. And by the way, there's always enough to share it to you, too. So, no, I'm not preaching to somebody. They say they were talking to me. You aimed that at me. I remember when Pastor Chuck, the first time I went to a church service, and I'm sitting there, and he's teaching, and my gosh, I thought he knew everything about my life. He didn't even know who I was. And he's just teaching the Bible, and it's like everything is going right into me, and I'm going, how did he know that? Because everything he hit on was something that somehow happened to me or I'd gone through or whatever. And he didn't know me. He got to know me because my kids were little and used to stand in line sometimes for 30 minutes just to talk to him. Some of you guys run out of church. See, I didn't do that because my kids made me stay there. They were yanking on me. And I, okay, stay in the line, talk to Pastor Chuck. So I'd stay in the line, talk to Pastor Chuck. You know why they wanted me? Because he was giving out shiny new quarters to every kid. He pulled them out. His ushers were bringing him the quarters, and he was just giving them away. Yeah, I give certs. So, yeah, because those kids, man, I don't know if they brush their teeth or not. So, anyhow, but some people think I'm reading their mail. Oh, no. Don't kill the messenger. Don't get mad at the pimple. Don't get mad at the wrinkle, but do radical spiritual surgery on your heart. And that's what the Word of God will do. Many don't want to be confronted with their sin or their lack of obedience. They just keep the mirror of the Word away. Ignorance is bliss, they might say. If I don't look in the mirror, I don't have to worry about what I look like. Oh, yeah. Try that one on for size. Sometimes I go in the store and I'll put a hat on and everything, and I got a sweatshirt on, a hoodie or whatever, and I go in the store so nobody will see me. And then I get caught by somebody. Oh, that's really miserable. Kind of reminds me of about the mountain man from Tennessee. Never seen civilization. Never had seen a mirror. Came up on a vacated campsite, and people left some food supplies in a mirror. He looked into it, and it scared him. In fact, he says, I'll be a picture of my old pappy. Sentimental, he wanted to keep it, so he hid the mirror and thinking his wife wasn't looking. And his wife was, but he hid it, and his wife, after he left, she went in and got it, looked in the mirror, and stated, wow, that's the old hag he's been running around with. You know what? I hope you are ready to see yourself as you really are. Not playing church. A church is a hospital for sinners. And you know what? None of us are perfect. It's not a display case for saints. You're going to have to go to some other church if you want a display case for saints. But if you're ready to get into the Word of God, you got to receive the Word. Forgive me for being honest for my preaching, but we don't. If you go to the doctor, you don't pay the doctor unless he's honest with you. You go in and say, "Doctor, please don't tell me if you find anything. I just don't want to know." Kind of reminds me of the man who went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Listen, sir, you're really obese. You got to do something about this." And in fact, he says, "You're beyond obese. You're fat." And he says, "Well, I want a second opinion." "Okay, you're ugly too. That'll be $80. No. You know, sometimes we get into the Word of God. Okay, pardon my jokes, okay? I can't help it. It's just my sense of humor. But God called me as I am. I got to change some things. But the reality is, you got to get the Word in your ear, but you got to get it in your heart. And no matter how we try and do it, I'll try and give it to you several ways, but you got to get it in your heart. I can't put it there. Only you can get it there. So first, they receive the Word. Secondly, they research the Word. This is a key ingredient for our life to find the success they received. Not only did the Bereans first receive the Word, secondly, they researched it. Look at verse 11. It says there, they took the Word with all readiness and they searched, underline searched. So the readiness was, there was an openness to it. I got to find out what's there. And they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We need to search the Word of God. We need to see what's in that Bible. We need to make certain we're being taught what's in the Word. And I exhort you in the name of Jesus that, and I always have, that I share out of the Word of God. But the truth of the matter is, you got to make sure that what is there in the Word of God. And so it says they search the Scriptures how often? Daily. You know, one of the things my wife does, and I'm not telling on her, but she likes to journal, it seems like, for her prayers, and she'll sometimes get lost in this just for a long, long time. And she's writing out Scripture, and she's praying, and she's writing out those prayers, writing them out. I had a good friend who made that cross actually up there, and he said before he went to heaven, and he was the first assistant pastor I ever worked with, and he told me, he said, "Dave, when you write it down, you got to think about it. You can't just let your brain just go. You got to think when you write." So he says, it's always good to write. And my wife does that. But the Bereans weren't content with the Word of man. It wasn't good enough. They wanted to know what the Word of God said. And I remember when I was sick, I shared this last Wednesday night, that I thought I had diabetes. In fact, I didn't think I had diabetes. And I had gone to the doctor. It was proven. My blood work came back. And I had problems with my legs. And he goes, "Dave," he goes, "this is a real problem." And so I searched the Word of God for a whole year on healing, sickness, and disease. And God healed me and took it away from me, and it was gone. And I remember one time my little daughter, Ashley, was riding the bike on the handlebars with Natalie. Natalie had her on the handlebars, and she fell, and her leg went inside the spokes and just mangled her foot. And I said, "God, we don't have insurance. We don't have any money. I need to know what to do." So I held her foot in my hand, and my wife and I, and I just remember praying over it and praying over it and praying over it. And I literally watched, by holding that foot, the swelling go down, and the changes happen, and God brought healing. You know, the Bible says he sent his Word and he healed them. We got a lot of benefits today. We got insurance. We got a lot of things working for us. But you know what? I always rely upon, greater than all that, my God. And how do I do that? I take the Word of God, and I believe it. I receive it, and I search it. I wrote down every page in the Bible, every verse in the Bible by hand on sickness, disease, and healing. And I still have it today. And you know what? Sometimes I've had to refer back, but I just believe it. The Bereans were like the man who is blessed in Psalm 1, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He pores over the Word, comparing Scripture with Scripture, evaluating the Word that they were hearing by the apostles, by an absolute counsel of God's Word. And that is precisely what we need to do. We need to research the Word. What about you? Do you welcome the message of the gospel as the Bereans did? Do you receive it in your ear and in into your heart? And do you study it daily with passion, enthusiasm, zeal, and hunger? Well, that's what we need to do. And thirdly, they responded to the Word. Say, respond to the Word. So they received the Word, they researched the Word, they responded to the Word. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, many of them believed. The word believe there literally means they put their trust in it. And that doesn't mean, oh, yeah, I'm going to trust God, Pastor. Okay. But I don't know what I'm going to do. You're going to trust God. But, you know, you have to do that. Nobody can make you do it. It's your decision. See, I have to decide to do that in my life. I have to decide I'm going to trust God about this. And God, I'm not going to hear anything else in my brain except trusting your word. Your word is true, and it's life-giving. I'm going to meditate on it day and night. And so I meditate on the word. Just say it over and over. Speak it. Write it out on a card over and over and over. And yet, it says many of the Jews believe, and also Greek or prominent Greek men and women, they were all believing. They received the word because they have a ready mind. They researched the word because they regarded it as truth. And thirdly, they responded to the word because they knew it was a direct revelation of God. See, we're saying, God, I wish you would just speak to me. I wish you'd tell me what to do. I remember in New York when right after the trade towers fell, and there was a Korean man and his wife. They couldn't speak but a little bit of English. And one of the head people in mental health came over to me and they said, look, are you Presbyterian? I go, no, I'm a Christian. No. They go, okay, then I want you to talk to this couple because they lost their daughter and they haven't heard. So I go, okay. And I said, I'm not Presbyterian, but I am a Christian. They go, well, they're spiritual people. Would you at least talk to them? Yeah, got it. So I brought them over to the side and I began to talk with them and they showed me pictures of their daughter and they go, have you seen her? No, I haven't seen her. We're looking for her. We just got here from Korea. They flew us in, and they wanted DNA, so we're here. And I said, okay, look, did your daughter ever tell you about her spiritual life? She wasn't walking with God very much, but she did have a relationship. But we sent her a Bible. You did? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. You sent her a Bible? You sent her the Word of God? Why'd you do that? Because we wanted her to follow the Word of God in New York. She was new in New York, and we wanted her to follow the Word of God. I go, okay, here's what I want you to do. I'm going to pray with you now, and then I want you to go to her house and go through her things and look for that Bible. Because the Holy Spirit told me that be in that Bible, she would write something down. And you know what? They went to the house. They came back. The next day, they showed me her Bible. She had underlined a bunch of verses and said, this really speaks to me. And one of them was John 3:16. So I told them, I go, look what God said to you. You're going to see your daughter again. She's going to be in heaven. You'll see her again. And the hope that they placed as they responded in the Word of God changed their countenance completely. And yes, they went through the process. They had to give DNA. They did find out that the DNA did match, but the reality is they knew where their daughter was. Do you respond to the Word of God with that kind of belief and heart? So many people, they want to hear from God, then they decide whether or not they're going to obey what they hear. But they will never hear until they're willing to obey. Did you know that? A person cannot hear properly until they're willing to do it. Why do I know that? Because Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That's what he said in the letter in Revelation. So you got to have ears to hear. People tell me, I just don't hear anything from God, Pastor. Well, you don't have ears to hear. Get your ears ready to hear. And how do you get it ready? Okay, look with me at the Gospel of John, chapter 17. You need to know this because I'm telling you what, this is something I've had to go through over and over and over in my own heart, my own life, and I got it fixed now. And look with me. And John 7, well, let's start in 7. Did I say 17? Okay, go to John 7. That's in front of there. And go to John 7 and look with me at something that Jesus said, verse 17. He says, if anyone wills, oh, wait a minute, is this in the Bible? Oh, yeah. It says, if anyone wills to do his will, what's his will? It's capitalized. It refers to God's will. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Jesus said, it's not a matter of just hearing it and believing it even. He says, when you go to the Word of God, are you willing to do the will of God? If you're willing to do the will of God, then you're going to know it is from God and you're going to be able to do it. And it's not just words. And then you can look at John 17 and verse 17. Jesus said this in his prayer, sanctify them by your what? Word, by your truth. And he says, your word is what? Truth. Sanctify means set apart. So our life is set apart for God. It's willing to do his will, though, that brings it about. So, friend, are you willing to do his will once he reveals it to you? Here's some action steps. And here's to find out how you're doing it. First of all, these action steps, you got to get it into your head. Say, get it into your head. Best way to do that is to look for ways to be exposed daily to the truth of God's Word. Get a little devotional book. Get your Bible. Read through. There's 31 Proverbs. Read through one for each day of the week or the month. And there's plenty to last for the whole month. Or get it into your head. Know that it's true. But most of us have heard this many times, but I don't know how we're going to do it unless we do it. Secondly, get it into your heart. The challenge for us is to make sure I get it into my heart. And thirdly, it's real simple, live it out with your hands. I love what Max Lucado said. He says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. In fact, it's amazing. He says, he wants you to be just like Jesus. God doesn't want us to stay the way we are. He's in business of changing lives, and he uses the Word of God to do that. Billy Graham said many years ago, as a young man, he was experiencing some doubts about the Bible, so he cried out to God in prayer and said this, "Oh God, I do not understand it all, but I am willing to believe it and willing to obey it." In fact, Billy Graham later wrote, I discovered the secret that changed my life and my ministry. I stopped trying to prove that the Bible was true. I'd settled it in my own mind that it was, and his faith conveyed through me to the audiences I spoke to all across the world. And over again, I found myself saying, the Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. And I felt as though I was merely a voice through which the Holy Spirit was speaking the Word, the living Word of God. I found that the Bible became a flame in my hands, and that flame melted away the unbelief in the hearts of people and moved them to decide for Christ. The Word became like a hammer breaking up the stony years of a person's heart and life and shaping them in the likeness of God. All of those quotes coming out of Give Me That Book by Robert Coleman and on Billy Graham. So, the Word of God. They received the Word, they researched the Word, they responded to the Word. And now, let's move to Paul. He's got to go on his further journey. Let's go to Athens. Verse 16. And so, with verse 15, it says, so those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now, while Paul waited to them at or for them, excuse me, I whited out that R. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. So Paul is getting ready to move to Athens. Big things are going to happen. The big things were happening. The people were given over to idols. You know, this is something that I think exists all around all of us. See, people are involved in their idols. And they've got their idols on People magazine. They got their idols on magazines. They got their idols on billboards. They got their idols on TV. We even have an American Idol. And they got all of these things going on, and they become idols. Sports idols, all kinds of idols. These people in Athens were devoted to their idols. I've been in Athens, and you know what? There's traces of this idolatry there even yet today. But the one thing that's to be our idol is the Word of God and our living God. Because as soon as I take the Word of God and I take it into my head and my heart, and I'm ready to do it, I got ears to hear, the Word becomes living to me, and it'll change my life. and change your heart. We're out of time to get fully discovered on what's going on in Athens, but one thing we do know, it's like California. People are into their idols. We need to make the idol away and gone and disappear. And we need to make God the truth and reality of what it is. So the Word of God teaches us what we should spend our time thinking about. I'm going to close with this. Psalm 119, verse 15. I will meditate on your word and have respect to your ways, or the paths of life that are marked out by your word. Are we ready to do that? Are we ready to meditate on the word and take it into our life and let it become part of us? I pray so. Please stand. Father God, we pray today in the name of Jesus that your word, Lord, would come alive to us, that we would come alive to it. And Father God, that your word would not only be something that's a revelation to us, but let it be a reality to us. And God, we all know this. It's such a simple truth, but yet somehow we miss it. Sometimes we forget about it. And God, you know my heart, and you know us as believers, God, that sometimes we know all about the Bible. We know all these scriptures. We know all these stories. But somehow it's in the head, and it's not in the heart. But sometimes you'll allow things in our life to get it into our heart, where it becomes real. It becomes the shoes we wear. It becomes the coat that we put on when we're cold. It becomes the ability to sustain us when we have no sustenance in our body. But God, your word is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, it will destroy idols and it'll bring the reality of a living God. May it be so, and everyone who hears these words today, Father, I pray for that. In Jesus' name, bless your people. Amen. Now, before we leave this place, you, some of you, may need prayer. You say, Pastor Dave, I've been getting prayer. No, I want you to pray today on a new stance. You get the word from here into here, and let one of our people pray with you to pray in faith the word of God. Whether you're sick, you need a healing, you need provision, you need a job, you need a circumstance change, let's just say the Word of God is true, let's practice it, let's believe it, and let's see what God can do. But let's trust it. Say trust. Okay, and if you want to do that, we got people who will pray with you and come up to the front after this closing song.